Why don't you just make a Dolph noise?
I don't know what he sounds like while he's showing you his vinegar strokes. Okay, but Dave, let's guess.
You got it.
Count of three.
You got it.
You make a noise, I make a noise, and whatever's better.
Yeah, together.
No,
used for
no.
Yeah.
Absolutely
yes.
Not.
David.
Yes.
Matthew.
I'll count. I'll be the neutral third party.
You're doing this on your own. I need you to go into this with full knowledge that there will be silence from my end, and you will be the only one vocalizing Dolph Lundgren's vinegar strokes.
Wait. Why don't you want to get in on verbalizing Dolph Lundgren's vinegar strokes, Dave?
Vocalizing.
Vocalizing. Thank you.
Maybe Dolph, you don't know. Maybe it is a word.
Pickles. There we go. There it is.
There are good movies and there are great movies. But that's not what we watch here, because this is Shitty Cinema.
Pickles.
We are three film masochists who love to take on the worst movies we can find, centered around our monthly theme to answer one simple question. Would you watch it again? I'm Jay, and I'm joined by Dave.
Hello.
And Casey.
If the fish is raw, why does it smell so bad?
Every week, one of us has to pick a movie based on that month's theme. This month's theme is Dog Ate My Homework, because God damn it if we aren't too lazy to put together a theme and we're just picking random movies we want to watch.
Whatever. We've all got some stuff that we can't come up with a theme for. Let's just make it work.
We've been really busy with the seasonal depression here. Very busy. Being gray all the goddamn time.
Oh my God.
Last week, we were treated to the treasure that was For Your Height Only, starring Wang Wang. But
yes.
Casey, how do we finish out the month?
Well, you'll hear us coming. We brought 1991's Showdown in Little Tokyo, starring Dolph Lundgren and Brandon Lee, and Cary Hiroyuki Tagawa, and his fucking tattooed torso. I need to talk about that later, because...
And everybody's torso,
meow.
Really. Like,
yeah.
Hey.
Nobody's...
Calm down.
Hey, don't forget Philip Tan.
Philip Tan. A spritz of Philip Tan in this film as well.
Casey, before we get ahead of ourselves, you need to give us an elevator pitch where you sell us on this movie in 10 seconds or less. Here's your setup. After a pretty rough night out in L.A., look, you lost your shoes, you lost your purse, you lost your phone... Things didn't go well, so...
Thank God I still have my virginity.
Yes, absolutely. That's you're so lucky that's still intact. So you've decided you're just calling it a night on the whole thing. You've crawled into the nearest unlocked car. You're going to sleep it off and try again tomorrow, whatever that is. Night, day, morning, whatever.
Sure.
Unfortunately, the unlocked car that you've crawled into has just been picked up to be crushed because it was trash. It was you're in an actual dump, Casey. I don't know how the night went this wrong, but it did. So you've got about 10 seconds before the roof of this car collapses in around you and wakes you up in the third worst way you've ever been woken up from a hangover. In the time before that happens, sell us on this movie.
Two bare torsos save a big titty torso from a tattooed torso. I know the tats are fake, but call me Cary Tagawa.
Seven seconds.
Yeah, he's 77. That
I appreciate
stands.
You keeping it very torso-centric.
This whole movie was torso-centric.
Yeah.
Unsurprised.
I kept begging Dolph Lundgren to put a shirt on.
She did.
Please put
she
a
screamed.
Shirt on.
Every time he kept taking clothes off, she's like, no, no. Put it on.
Put the jacket back on, please.
It's not even sexy. It's
your
like
leg arms scare me.
It's like an alien.
If we're going to make sense of these torsos, we're going to need to go over the movie that Shitty Cinema watched. Our buddy cops in this flick are an odd couple. Dolph Lundgren plays Chris Kenner, an American weeb raised in Japan with a love of martial arts and, you know, Ivan Drago muscles.
His partner is the half-Japanese Johnny Murata, who doesn't like weebs and constantly refers to Kenner as champ, unironically. It's kind of adorable.
I mean, he could have used Slugger.
Slugger would have been good, too.
That would have been a banger.
Also, how did they cast Dolph Lundgren and somehow put him across from someone with an even bigger chin? I don't.
Brandon Lee's face is so muscular. Like, him in short hair fucking does it for me. Bad. Like,
when he first shows up and they cut from Dolph to him, I shouted, how?
Chin.
Both Kenner and Murata can't keep partners, and yet, look, who's partnered together? Ah.
Like, immediately, just because he pulled a gun on a guy, and he's like, wait, I think I love you. So don't get killed.
So their whole gig is that they're trying to hunt down the Yakuza that have recently begun terrorizing Little Tokyo in L.A. The pair arrest a gang member, learning that he belongs to the Iron Claw Yakuza. When Kenner was a kid in Japan, a member of the Iron Claw Yakuza killed his parents, so he's really mad about this whole situation.
Okay, but that's why I don't respect people who come to my house and are afraid of my dogs. Because I'm like, really? Did a chihuahua kill your parents in bed with a goddamn samurai sword? Calm down. Step off my couch.
And if so, then, like, respect.
Right.
Respect.
What the fuck did your parents do?
Right.
I mean,
what kind of people were they?
If so, like, active disrespect. Your parents got taken down by a chihuahua.
Right.
Sword or not.
They got exactly what they needed, and you will too.
Meanwhile, Yoshida, the head of the Iron Claw Yakuza, does casual crimes. He takes over a club by killing its owner, because that's how club ownership works, right?
Correct, yeah.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
He decapitates a snitch mid-sexual action in front of all of his friends. Gross.
That's true.
And has a giant bowl of crystal meth that would make Heisenberg cry.
It's the drugs that Kenner and Murata used to sniff around the club. Being obvious cops, the duo is brought in to meet Yoshida. But that causes Kenner to go apeshit because he recognizes Yoshida as the man that killed his parents and a dude that he also had in his scar.
Instead of shooting Yoshida dead, Murata convinces them to leave. See, they'd met this lounge singer, Minako, and also it's bad for cops to murder people.
You know, this is like the same year that the LA cops beat the shit out of Rodney King, right? So.
Yeah.
No, but it was like made a year and a half before.
Yeah, you think they had to do a reshoot because of that? Like, ah, shit, we gotta bring them back in. Add in a don't murder people line. Yoshida responds to the cops' appearance by kidnapping and raping Minako.
The cops show up at Yoshida's bath time to try to arrest him, and they end up getting beaten and captured. But Yoshida
and
uses
thongs. Don't bury the lead.
And thongs. And Yoshida thongs. Uses this opportunity to fridge Minako again, and also to torture the cops.
I mean, I feel like calling them thongs is something. There's a lot more material getting stuffed up there.
I mean, it's basically what it looks like when you have to make an overnight pad and a thong work. It's the same thing, but very protective at the same time.
I mean, yeah.
I'm sure that's
what it feels like, but it's not really a thong. It's like they got the rope you tie up a boat with and just kind of cranked that up there.
A nautical thong, you know.
And then wrapped it around you a few times for good measure.
Okay, but they also take the time to swim in a hot tub full of blood, which we need to talk about later because I have big feelings about it and I don't like it.
Okay, but
it
also,
is 1990, you guys.
Also, the end of the movie after Dolph kills the bad guy and Minako runs off to him and puts her head on his chest.
Oh, yes,
and
I hated that.
Blood.
No.
Yeah.
Do you think
Why?
He wants your fucking hair in that?
Wow,
no.
God.
Ow.
Why?
Screamed.
Yeah, I'm so glad I did too. I was like, ew. No. I mean, you already had to wash your hair, but like, don't make it harder on yourself.
Right. Come on. Kenner uses the torture to escape, and they both go after Yoshida. After rescuing Minako, again, Yoshida and Kenner face off mano a mano with katanas in the middle of a parade around hundreds, if not thousands of people.
I don't think there were thousands of people at that parade, Dave.
There could have been, Case.
It looked like the parades we used to have in high school. It is three blocks.
Larger area, maybe.
Kenner defeats Yoshida, and the crowd hails him as a hero for murdering a man in public. The best part is how Yoshida dies, though, because it's arguably one of the best deaths I've seen on shitty cinema.
I don't understand how any of it transpires, but walk us through,
sure.
Jay.
Okay, Dolph Lundgren's character Kenner impales Yoshida on a katana, lifts him up on the katana, throws him, and he sticks to one of those like 6-foot boards that they spin around with fireworks. The fireworks light off on the side and the board spins and it looks neat, right?
It looked like it should have been at an old-timey circus with a girl nailed to it that you throw knives at.
Exactly. Exactly. One of those.
And but when, with like M80s on it.
Well, see, when he gets stuck to it, when Yoshida's stuck to it, impaled on the sword, it starts to spin because suddenly, out of nowhere, the fireworks on the edge
light on
fire, right?
Who lit them?
Who lit them? Who knows? And it just starts spinning faster and faster, and he's like, ah, right. And then, in what I assume is their intended purpose and function, they begin to explode and they blow up.
Yes. You know, every parade has that thing that blows up and blows up like a quarter of a city block.
I mean, it doesn't blow up a quarter of a city block. It just blows.
It blows up in the whole fucking street. Like, it catches shit around it on fire. Was he the wrong weight intended for the board? Like, clearly this was kind of supposed to happen, but not to that degree, question mark?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure this is exactly what was supposed to happen. So, Dolph Lundgren and the villain face off in the middle of the street and grab the conveniently placed katanas from the samurai on horseback that they landed near. And we see that everybody just stops to watch them fight because
fight.
Because you know what, if you saw two grown men fighting with katanas in the middle of the street in LA, you'd watch too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially if it was fucking Dolph Lundgren and
Kerry Tagawa takes that Tagawa. Fucking pops that top off. I've said it before, but panel art, I will say it again. That panel art tattooing fucking does it for me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
On him, I mean, he knows he looks good. The fucking whole opening scene is his fucking chest and shit with those fake ass tattoos on. So yeah, if I see him in the street with a sword trying to kill leg arms Dolph Lundgren, I'm here for it. And I'm not.
Did you just call him leg arms?
Yeah, I'm not fucking cheering for the big guy until you're dead and then I have to be his slave or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he scares me.
Kerry Tagawa does look good in this. Don't get me wrong.
He looks so fucking good.
In this climactic fight, he's taking off his shirt to face off against a shirtless Dolph Lundgren.
Who's already been shot by a bullet and is unfazed by that in the chest.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's no universe where I don't believe that fight's over in 8 seconds flat.
Dude, Kerry looked good with a sword.
Agreed.
Like, his sword work was fantastic. That's why I would go for him because I feel like he's fast and he's got the skill.
The sword work looked good. Some of the fights in this movie, they got way too tight in on a lot of the fighting, but the sword work in this one, they didn't. They stayed back a little bit and it was pretty solid. But yeah, I'm just saying in this David versus Goliath, fuck my namesake, Dolph's just clubbing him into the earth instantly because he doesn't even look human. It's terrifying.
But speaking of the fights, I did want to mention Not all of them were great, but there were some great stuntmen on this. There were some really fantastically done falls, like in the spa scene when this guy goes to kick Brandon Lee and instead he sweeps his leg out from under him and the guy like hits the thing and then falls into the water. That looked real as fuck.
Yeah, like the pool edge. It looked gnarly.
Wow. I have fallen like that and it is something you almost drown over because there's that 3 seconds where you're like, fucking, I'll just die. I would rather.
I've actually seen interviews with stuntmen and actors talking about their experiences with stuntmen in fight sequences where they've had stuntmen tell them, listen, if you fuck it up, we're just going to have to keep doing it. Just fucking hit me. Because that will look good. And then we
right.
can go home.
Right.
It just makes me think of Thomas Jane stabbing that guy.
What?
In the Punisher movie, he really stabs that big blonde French guy.
Yeah, the wrestler.
They used the wrong knife. He stabbed him with a real knife and completed the scene.
Kevin Nash? He really stabbed Kevin Nash?
Yes.
Yeah, the stuntman took some great fucking falls in the bathhouse. And really just throughout, there's a really quick fight scene with Brandon Lee when he and Dolph Lundgren first team up.
Oh, in the diner.
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren knocks a guy out outside the diner, and then they go inside, and Brandon Lee takes out the next three or four guys. It's a really short fight scene. But first of all, my hips hurt watching Brandon Lee kick, because dear
yeah.
God.
Yeah, he's very bendy.
He just effortlessly puts his foot, like, 7 feet up in the air. It's terrifying.
It doesn't look like he should be able to reach that high.
Yeah. And the stuntmen that take the hit in that scene, he knocks somebody's head into a pole. He kicks somebody else in the head, and they are great fucking falls. They are clean as fuck, and I love
them. Yes, they are. Yes.
I don't know. That scene was really boring to me and hard to pay attention because I've just seen that scene so many fucking times. And it's not the movie's fault that I'm jaded. But I'm just like, oh, good. They saved her store by destroying everything in the store, including throwing people through the front fucking window. How nice. Thanks. I'm sure Mama What's-Her-Face really fucking appreciates that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the movie's fault in that they went, hey, we're going to make a buddy cop movie, but what if both of the buddy cops were rigs? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Right.
What?
No. Right.
There's a reason Murtaugh's there, man.
Correct.
Like...
You can't give us two of the character and expect there to be... It's not interesting. Like, the whole them becoming friends and Brandon Lee's character jumping on Kenner's whole vengeance train is so weird and doesn't make any sense.
He's a pick-me girl.
Yes, 100%. He's like, oh, you're doing all this bad shit? Oh, well, I should be out and... And Kenner's like, yeah, get out of here, man. He's like, well, I'm not gonna. I'm gonna join you.
I mean, I love you.
I mean, Brandon Lee's character is canonically kind of a himbo.
Yeah.
Like, we find out that one of his life goals is to be a cop in Malibu, except he spent years in the LAPD without knowing that they are the sheriff's department. So... Pretty dumb, pretty strong, game
pretty
to help you out. That's
he
a
also
himbo.
Knows, he knows nothing about his Japanese heritage.
Oh yeah,
so is this like sexy Turner and Hooch?
Let me be clear. In this film, Brandon Lee's character, Johnny, is half Japanese. And yeah, I know, right? And. Being half Japanese, he though knows nothing about it. And so there's this weird like buddy cop tension between him not caring about Japanese culture and thinking it's dumb and Dolph's character who grew up in Japan and is very tuned into Japanese culture and is, you know, the big Nordic dude.
Yeah, no, the extent of this movie's attempt at clever writing is, all right, so it's an East meets West buddy cop movie, but the white guy's the weave in this one.
Oh.
That should have been the elevator pitch, Dave.
It probably was the actual elevator pitch for this movie.
Okay, the film was hacked up by Warner Brothers, I think it was. They hacked like 10 or 15 minutes out of the film. We got to talk about one of the cuts because it's only like a second's worth of footage. But I guess we need to set it up properly. So at one point, Dolph gets into a tiny hot tub naked, and Monaco, played by Tia Carrera, gets into the tiny hot tub naked with him, which, fuck you both. We did get to see Tia Carrera's tits and her CGI Merkin getting into the hot tub.
Yeah.
Tia Carrera's CGI Merkin is my new screen name.
We did. Okay. So continue.
So after this, the house that they're in gets assaulted, and before they part to fight off the assaulters, Brandon Lee and Dolph's characters have a quick conversation where Brandon says, biggest dick I've ever seen. Biggest dick I've ever seen on a guy. But it was supposed to be, you've got the biggest dick I've ever seen on a white guy. And knowing that and listening and hearing that cut out, they ruined it. It would have been much better.
Would it? Would
hey,
it have
I think
made
so.
A
yeah.
Dip?
Yeah. Yes.
Would it have been better? Because I think the best line of this had already come, and it's a couple of lines before this when they're discussing how Dolph had hooked up with Tia Carrera, and Dolph says, no, she was just scared. And Brandon Lee says, yeah, I saw you getting undressed for the hot tub. I'd have been scared, too. That was a much classier and funnier way of making a big dick joke.
Yes. Okay, but let's take it back a couple
Fair.
Lines before that.
Keep going.
Tia
Keep
Carrera
going. Yes.
Says, wait, I've already heard you come. Ha ha ha. And then lays down fancy free. I don't want to know what that noise sounds like. I don't ever want to know what that noise sounds like. I'm blocking Dolph Lundgren as soon as we stop on Instagram because I know he'll DM me.
You know what he's going to do.
Yeah,
send you a video.
He's
going to
send me a voice note.
Yeah.
There was a line earlier in the movie about how Dolph Lundgren's so sneaky that Tia Carrera would never hear him coming. And then they have sex, and she gives this James Bond bad double entendre of, this time I did hear you coming. And then, really, just to really drive this home, though, you got to remember that this is all going down in a three-room home.
Yes.
Dolph Lundgren did Brandon.
Built.
Yeah.
Brandon heard you coming.
I have to assume Dolph Lundgren went with the full-on Japanese paper walls in this place.
Yes.
Sure. So Brandon Lee's just listening to them fuck.
So did everybody in the woods, which is why they were respectful enough to wait until he was done coming. They're like, wait for the noise, count to 40, then we move.
Yeah.
Don't touch that hot tub water.
All right, Case, I guess that's not the only weird horny that we're going to get in the film. How did you feel about the torture scene where Brandon Lee and a shirtless Dolph Lundgren are tied to some tables and being electrocuted?
Loved it. So I get acupuncture, and that's exactly what happens.
True.
Is they put the needles in you, put little, like, jumper cables on him, and then have it hooked to a car battery, and then he leaves for 30 minutes and has like pan flutes on, and it fixes my back. But I'm not gonna lie, I hate it the whole time, but I'm not a punk bitch like them, and I don't yell. I just yell on the inside. So mad disrespect to both of them. But I like that the guy that was doing their acupuncture like looked like really kind of like the keyboardist guy from Static X, where he's just like way too into the music. Like this guy is vibing out and like acting like he's getting electrocuted every time he operates the board. But then he really puts on the Ritz when he does get electrocuted, when Dolph Lundgren pushes him into Brandon Lee and they create a circuit and zap him.
That made no sense. I loved it.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense at all. But
I don't understand science enough to really argue it. So sure, great. That makes sense.
I'm fine with that being the way they write out of this. I liked cutting back to Cary Tagawa in the limousine where he's watching all of this on a TV. And clearly this has ruined his blood rage boner in the worst way because he's very upset with this. I don't understand why this doesn't still work for him.
Yeah, they keep referring to that he can't get it up unless he sees someone being like tortured or murdered, which like
seems categorically true from the events of the film.
I hate to be that guy, an armchair psychologist, but that's not good.
You think?
Hot take. That's not good, Cary. You might want to see somebody about it.
Yeah, he's
so hot in this movie. I can't. I love every
fucking scene.
Okay.
Dolph Lundgren just rips people's shirts off. I'm like, yes, show it off.
I don't know if he's just great at being a villain or if everyone else in this is so bad
no,
that any taste of acting is helpful. But God damn it.
He's always electric. He's always
yes.
electric. I love him in everything I've seen him in. Oh my God. I have to say, they go to the Banzai Club a couple times when Tia Carrera works there. I want to go to the Banzai Club. You walk
in. I'm saying.
It's this dingy, dark ass, dirty looking bar with a bunch of fake titty women laying down as a sushi platter. They have sumo
with sushi
lady-
on top of them, people eating sushi off of their naked bodies.
Yes, they have topless sumo wrestling for ladies. They have
yeah, which got me.
Tia Carrera doing bad karaoke on stage in all sequins. Yes, and it's a bar. So like sushi, booze, fighting Carrera.
I'm pretty sure it's just a bad strip club.
It's a great strip club.
It's a great strip club. Thank you. Right. I mean, go get fucked, Dave.
I want the chance to get ringworms from sushi off of a woman I've never talked to in my life and who's actively not allowed to talk. You know I'm going to be like a British guard thing and try to make her talk. Or like, I bet I can break them.
I'm not allowed to talk. Well, yeah, I guess it would make the sushi fall off.
Also, great place for a fight. It was set up well for a fight.
Yes, it was. And I love that fucking Brandon Lee uses change to throw it in someone's face to fucking whoop some ass.
To start the fight. He
yeah.
starts the fight by bang changing a man in the face.
The guy responds to it as though it was effective when he just underhands like 47 cents at him. Like, bro, what? It wasn't pocket sand. You're fine. Move on.
What kind of man throws change?
Right?
I think that was it. It was just the genuine shock of like, did this bitch really just throw coins at me?
It's filthy. Ew.
Who does that? This, I guess, Showdown in Little Tokyo has a series of absurd locations because there's also the beer factory that produces tons of I literally mean tons of crystal meth on Ford-like lines where it's conveyor belts of pounds and pounds just going, and they do massive drug cartel setups.
Yeah, they package it in the beer bottle so you can crack
yeah.
open a cold one and you just pour out a little meth.
Yeah, I think they're just like dropping it in the... I think the main plan was they put a little meth in all the beer so then people start drinking the beer and getting addicted to meth.
No, actually, I don't know that we ever actually see any beer going into their beer bottles. And the only times we see them opened, it's meth coming out of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, the only time we see beer is when Brandon Lee is murdering a guy and throwing him into a vat of beer and then stupidly throwing a lighter into that, which blows up the whole vat of beer and then blows up the other seven in the room and most of the building. Carrie Tagawa is blowing up a gas pump that Tia Carrere is tied to. So, like, there's, like, 43 explosion and not one person has called the cops. They have time to run to a parade. We never hear sirens.
That's a great point.
We never hear sirens.
No.
There's one fight in a bathhouse and there's, like, three cop cars, but you have 43 beer explosions and they're like, eh.
Okay. That does raise a question, and I already know my answer on this, but I want to ask you guys. There were a lot of fucking explosions in this movie. What was your favorite?
That one was for me.
Okay.
The unhearable explosion. The fact that I was like, what is he doing? Oh my God, this is like throwing a hairspray can in a bonfire, you fucking moron. But I can't tear my eyes away.
Yoshida exploding is by far the best for me.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Villain getting pinned to a circus wheel and then blowing up with fireworks. Excellent answer.
Thank you.
So my favorite is when Dolph is escaping with Minako. They run out of the house and he throws Minako in the car.
God. Oh, God.
Then to provide cover, Dolph Lundgren just by himself flips a car onto its side.
It
and
looks like
I
a
believe
like
him.
71 Chevelle Malibu.
Yeah, okay, question. Can he do that?
Probably.
Yeah. I don't
know.
Do you
think so?
Probably not, but I believe
him. I got to Google it right now because I have to sleep tonight. I might have to unblock him so I can ask him on Instagram. But I'm not opening a single voice note, Dolph.
All right. I guess we got to vote. This has got to be official. Casey, can Dolph Lundgren flip a Chevelle on its side? You're going to say yes.
Yes.
Dave?
Yeah, I believe him.
I'm also going to go, yeah, that's three yes.
Yeah.
Shitty Cinema, official canon, Dolph Lundgren can flip cars.
He can absolutely flip a car.
Yeah. Everybody knows this.
His touch can transmute them to make them explosive remains to be seen. But he may have some latent gambit abilities.
You know who we did not talk about?
Who?
Fucking Philip Tan, who was in 2 minutes of this movie, and I'm so mad about it because he's the first character on screen. I'm like, hell yeah, Phil, what up, what up? And then next scene, he gets murdered by Kerry Tagawa because he's mad at him or something, and he gets smushed in a car. Like, Philip Tan is smaller than Dolph Lundgren. If Dolph would survive a smushin', Philip would be fine. His arm would be mangled, but he'd be okay.
Survive a smushin'.
Yeah.
We could go on all night about how much better of an idea it is to hook up with Brandon Lee than Dolph Lundgren. I mean, on show.
First choice is Kerry Tagawa. Brandon is a second.
I mean, you're rolling the dice with Kerry.
Roll them dice and shake them. Roll them dice
All right. Before Casey gets too far off track on this, we need to get down to it and ask the question we do every week. Jay, let's kick this off with you. I don't know what year this was.
1991, Dave. Stop singing the DuckTales song.
I will never. You cannot make me.
DuckTales.
From 1990.
Did you just say DuckTales?
From 1991, starring Dolph Lundgren and Brandon Lee, Showdown in Little Tokyo. Would you watch it again?
Man, Showdown in Little Tokyo has mostly awful acting, especially Dolph Lundgren and Brandon Lee do not shine in this film. A lot of Dolph's combat is kind of stiff and slow, too. I was not as impressed with him as I have been in other films. I find a lot of this to just be absolutely bonkers and off the wall and also somewhat generic at the same time, which is really impressive. Tia Carrera's titties, though, is a thing that, you know, I thought about a lot and I didn't know that I hadn't seen and had an option to. So that was nice. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about this movie. And honestly, it's pretty shitty cinema. Which is probably why I'm going to watch it again. Because, yeah, I had fun. It was stupid. I enjoyed it. I'd watch Showdown in Little Tokyo again. I'm not going to run and seek it out right away. But, yeah. I'm in. Casey, what about you? 1991's Showdown in Little Tokyo. Would you watch it again?
Oh, this is tough. Because this movie is cinematic cotton candy. You apply any pressure or moisture and it just dissipates. I watched this. I finished this 30 minutes before recording tonight and immediately forgot everything about it because it is so fucking generic and boring and ridiculous. It has that air of ridiculousness, but also super fucking boring. The fighting is fine sometimes. But frankly, I expected more out of Dolph Lundgren. I expected a little more out of Brandon Lee. I've seen him do better. But Cary Tagawa, I cannot stress enough. Google him with the tattoos. It fucking changes everything.
It's yummy.
It's yummy, yes. Shang Tsung, yes. All day, boy. God. I want to say no. This is like 60% no. I would rewatch it again to watch Dolph Lundgren flip a car, to watch Dolph Lundgren get tortured alongside Brandon Lee, and for Cary Tagawa's torso.
Yeah.
And to also rewatch for the Bonsai Club, which I will if I'm ever have enough money and enough. And in an entrepreneur, I want to make that club a reality in the town we live in. So I guess, begrudgingly, yes, I would watch this again, but I don't want to, but I will. But Dave, I'm curious, 1991's Showdown in Little Tokyo, would you watch it again?
Man, Minako's character makes this a real rough rewatch because she's just gets fridged every 9 minutes of screen time. It's real bad. And we didn't even go into the on-screen sex scene between her and Dolph Lundgren, which is it's not a good sex scene.
Nobody asked for it.
Yeah. However,
Dolph's face. Why was he smiling so much? Don't smile. Don't smile.
However, Cary Tagawa gets pinned to a fucking circus wheel and blown up with fireworks, and Dolph Lundgren flips a fucking car. So yeah,
yep.
I'm going to watch Showdown in Little Tokyo again, because anything that contains those, I have to come back to again.
Yeah, I don't like that, but those are the reasons.
So
I
that's
feel like they're good reasons.
So that's it, guys. 3 out of 3 of us would watch Showdown in Little Tokyo again. One of us, very regrettably.
I'm mad.
But what about you? Have you seen it before? Would you watch it again? Let us know. Well, that's it for Dog Ate My Homework, everybody. We're going back to regular themes. We have to actually start thinking about this ahead of time. So, Casey,
we gotta get our shit together.
Yeah, we really gotta get our shit together because, frankly, when we go off book, things get way too rapey. Casey, you're bringing us back on track. So what's our theme and what are we watching next week?
God, I hope it's not rapey, but usually folk tales are. We're doing folk tale month.
All right.
All of those, you know, like royalty-free properties, Robin Hood, Hercules, all old-timey stories. I'm using this month as an excuse to bring a Christmas movie because fuck you, Jay. I'm bringing Christmas Evil from 1980. And I don't know shit about this movie other than John Waters said it's one of his favorite, or it is his favorite Christmas movie.
Oh,
so
no.
We'll just have to see if a chicken gets fucked to death.
Oh,
till
yeah,
next
so
week.
It is, right?
Follow us on Instagram at casey.cinema. Like us on Facebook, sh.ttycinema. Throw us a bone on Patreon/shittycinema or peepshittycinema.com. Check the show notes for those links. And in the meantime, let's turn out the lights. Avoid Dolph Lundgren when he's in a one-man hot tub.
Excellent idea.
And honestly, I'd rather get smushed in a car trash compactor than be smushed in a hot tub with Dolph Lundgren.